William, what's wrong? Janelli's voice, which had been deeply blurred with sleep and ready to be angry, was now sharp with concern. Billy had found Janelli's home number in his address book below the one for Three Brothers. He had dialed it without much hope at all. Sure, it would have been changed at some point during the intervening years. His left hand, wrapped in a handkerchief, lay in his lap. It had turned into something like a radio station and was now broadcasting approximately 50,000 watts of pain. The slightest movement sent it raving up his arm. Beads of sweat stood out on his forehead. Images of crucifixion kept occurring to him. "I'm sorry to call you at home, Richard," he said, "and so late."
"Fuck that. What's wrong?"
"Well, the immediate problem is that I've been shot through the hand with a..." He shifted slightly, his hand flared, and his lips peeled back over his teeth. "With a ball bearing." Silence at the other end. "I know how it sounds, but it's true. The woman used the slingshot."
"Jesus. What?"
A woman's voice in the background. Janelli spoke briefly in Italian to her and then came back on the line.
"This is no joke, William. Some whore put a ball bearing through your hand with a slingshot."
"I don't call people at..." He looked at his watch, and another flare of pain raced up his arm. "At 3 o'clock in the morning and tell jokes. I've been sitting here for the last 3 hours, trying to wait until a more civilized hour. But the pain..." He laughed a little, a hurt, helpless, bewildered sound. "The pain is very bad."
"Does this have to do with what you called me about before?"
"Yes."
"It was gypsies?"
"Yes, Richard."
"Yeah? Well, I promise you one thing. They don't fuck with you anymore after this."
"Richard, I can't go to a doctor with this, and I really am in a lot of pain."
Billy Halleck, grand master of understatement, he thought.
"Can you send me something, maybe by Federal Express, some kind of painkiller?"
"Where are you?"
Billy hesitated for just a moment, then shook his head a little. Everyone he trusted had decided he was crazy. He thought it very likely that his wife and his boss had gone through, or soon would be going through, the motions necessary to effect an involuntary committal in the state of Connecticut. Now his choices were very simple and marvelously ironic. Either trust this dope-dealing hood he hadn't seen in nearly 6 years, or give up completely. Closing his eyes, he said, "I'm in Bar Harbor, Maine, the Frenchman's Bay Motel, Unit 37.
"Just a second."
Janelli's voice moved away from the telephone again. Billy heard him speaking in a dim platter of Italian. He didn't open his eyes. At last, Janelli came back on the line again.
"My wife is making a couple of calls for me," he said. "You're waking up guys in Norwalk right now, Paisan. I hope you're satisfied."
"You're a gentleman, Richard," Billy said. The words came out in a guttural slur, and he had to clear his throat. He felt too cold. His lips were too dry, and he tried to wet them, but his tongue was dry, too.
"You be very still, my friend," Janelli said.
The concern was back in his voice.
"You hear me? Very still. Wrap up in a blanket if you want, but that's all. You've been shot. You're in shock."
"No shit," Billy said and laughed again. "I've been in shock for about 2 months now."
"What are you talking about?"
"Never mind."
"All right. But we gotta talk, William."
"Yes."
Hold on a second."
Italian, soft and faint. Halleck closed his eyes again and listened to his hand broadcast pain. After a while, Janelli came back on the phone.
"A man is going to come by with some painkiller for you.
Oh, hey, Richard, that's not..."
"Don't tell me my business, William. Just listen. His name is Fander. He's no doctor, this guy, at least not anymore. But he's going to look at you and decide if you ought to have some antibiotics as well as the dope. He'll be there before daylight."
"Richard, I don't know how to thank you," Billy said. Tears were running down his cheeks. He wiped at them absently with his right hand.
"I know you don't," Janelli said. "You're not a wop, Remember, Richard, just sit still. Fander arrived shortly before 6 o'clock. He was a little man with prematurely white hair who carried a country doctor's bag. He gazed at Billy's scrawny, emaciated body for a long moment without speaking, and then carefully unwound the handkerchief from Billy's left hand. Billy had to put his other hand over his mouth to stifle a scream. "Raise it, please," Fander said, and Billy did. The hand was badly swollen, the skin pulled taut and shiny. For a moment, he and Fander gazed at each other through the hole in Billy's palm, which was ringed with dark blood. Fander took an otoscope from his bag and shone it through the wound. Then he turned it off. "Clean and neat," he said. "If it was a ball bearing, there's much less chance of infection than there would have been with a lead slug." He paused, considering. "Unless, of course, the girl put something on it before she fired it."
"What a comforting idea," Billy croaked.
"I'm not paid to comfort people," Fander said coolly. "Especially when I'm routed out of bed at 3:30 and have to change from my pajamas into my clothes in a light plane that is bouncing around at 11,000 feet. You say it was a steel bearing?"
"Yes."
"Then you're probably all right. You can't very well soak a steel ball bearing in poison the way the Jivaro Indians soak their wooden arrowheads in Karari, and it doesn't seem likely the woman could have painted it with anything if it was all as spur of the moment as you say. This should heal well with no complications."
He took out disinfectant, gauze, and elastic bandage.
"I'm going to pack the wound and then bandage it. The packing is going to hurt like hell, but believe me when I tell you that it's going to hurt a lot more in the long run if I leave it open."
He cast another measuring eye on Billy. Not so much the compassionate eye of a doctor, Billy thought, as the cold, appraising glance of an abortionist.
"This hand is going to be the least of your problems if you don't start eating again."
Billy said nothing. Fander looked at him a moment longer, then began packing the wound. At that point, talk would have been impossible for Billy anyway. The pain broadcasting station in his hand jumped from 50,000 to 250,000 watts in one quick leap. He closed his eyes, clamped his teeth together, and waited for it to be over. At last, it was over. He sat with his throbbing, bandaged hand in his lap and watched Fander root in his bag once more.
"All other considerations aside, your radical emaciation makes for problems when it comes to dealing with your pain. You're going to feel quite a bit more discomfort than you'd feel if your weight